appreciate the trio singing for us this evening. We are privileged and thankful to have Pastor David Osteen here with us this evening to preach to us here on this graduation commencement night. And Pastor David Osteen is a alumni, class of 1998. And David graduated in 1998 from our high school, then graduated from our college about 12 years later. I'm just kidding, I don't remember when it was. A few years later, and he's been pastoring now the Landmark Baptist Church in Locust Grove, Georgia, for almost 7 years. And a wonderful church up there, Bible-believing church, preaches the Bible and reaches the lost with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also on the radio. Maybe you've heard his broadcast even here in our area on Gospel 90.3, the Open Bible Broadcast. And he does a good job with that Bible broadcast also. And the only other thing I can think good to say about you is y'all won the state championship in football in 1997 when he was on the team, and he was the manager that year of the team. I'm just kidding. He played and was a good football player, and he coached here for us for several years, and we're glad to have him here tonight to preach to us. So if you have your Bible, pay attention to the Word of God tonight, and Brother Osteen, you come preach to us. God bless you,
brother. All right, it's a great privilege and honor for me to be here this evening. And I have two of my kids with me. My daughter Kenzie's 9, and my son Carter is 3, and they're with me. But unfortunately, my wife Christy had to stay home with our youngest. Colton is 8 months, but he's 6, so he couldn't come, and she really wanted to be here. So I guess they're watching online, and if so, I love you, miss you. Pray for me. We also won baseball conference too, by the way. This place has a real special place in my heart for many reasons. I came to know Christ through the ministry of this church and school, and I was trained for the ministry through this Bible college and by working on this church staff. Very thankful for the influence of Dr. Carter. There's nobody I respect more than Dr. Mickey Carter, and I appreciate him so much, and Pastor Stephen Carter. And of course, Christy and I got married here 12 years ago, standing right about here. I'm almost as nervous now as I was then. My dad reminded me, he was my best man. He said, son, nobody's looking at you. They're all looking at the bride. You can sit down and do nothing. They don't care. So that helped me. But she graduated also from Landmark Christian School 2 years before me. And you know, in fact, we both graduated with honors. She was, she graduated cum laude, whatever that means, and I graduated thank you laude. I was barely Torian. But God's good, merciful, and gracious. And I do want to offer my congratulations to the graduates, and I know you're very excited, and we're happy for you. It's a blessing. So congratulations, and I want to also commend the parents of the graduates for making a very wise decision and putting your kids in a Christian school like this, where they can not only learn, but more importantly, learn the truth of God's Word concerning the origin of life and their purpose. We were created by God and for God, and that's not being taught in most places in our country. So Christian education, as far as I'm concerned, is far better than a secular education. And so that's a wonderful investment that you made, and I commend you for that. I'm so thankful that my parents sacrificed so that I could go to school here. We were living down in Frostproof, on the other side of Frostproof, way out yonder and nowhere, and never even heard of this place. Went through a set of real difficult circumstances. The Lord brought me here, and he used this school in a great way in my life and for me and my family. I won't get into all the story of it. It's just an amazing way the Lord worked and to get us here. And my family started coming to church here because of the school. And I remember, I think it was about 96 when my dad got saved right there. I was praying during the invitation. He finally started coming to church with us, and I was praying he'd get saved, and there he was. I opened my eyes, and Brother Hartwig was leading him to the Lord. I appreciate Brother Hartwig. I told him that before the service. He was a great blessing to me. Miss Fye, I see her back there, and she's probably just, you're thinking, what in the world? You know, I mean, I can't imagine what you're thinking, because you had me in Spanish class And I was the subject of your prayers often, I know. God's very merciful. It's the grace of God. It's all it is, really. I mean, I didn't come from a Christian background. Nobody in my family, going back as far as you want to look. And the Lord just kind of reached down on the side of the road and picked up a piece of trash like me and saved me by grace and just started working in my life and just long-suffering and merciful and gracious. And I thank the Lord for his goodness to me. I really do. I almost decided to give you a little bit of my testimony, but our time is very limited, and I do have a message on my heart I want to give the graduates. And so if you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And I know there's more to come in this service, so I'll try to be brief, and I'll make a deal. If I try to keep it short, you try to pay attention, okay? Proverbs chapter number 3, and very familiar verses. In fact, so familiar, I'm gonna put you on one last test. I'm sure you memorize these verses, verse 5 and 6. So the graduates, go ahead and close your Bibles back. Just keep a finger there. Proverbs 3, 5. Did you memorize these verses? You've had to have memorized. No? What kind of school you running here? You know? Proverbs 3, 5. I memorized these in Vacation Bible School at First Presbyterian in Lake Wales, before I was even saved, just a little kid. These are the first verses I remember learning. Precious verses. I'm going to make you say them because they're very good. I know you've memorized them, okay? So you say it with me. Proverbs 3, 5. I got my Bible open, though. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Just say it now. Trust in the Lord. So you got it in your mind. The key is getting it down in your heart. And I hope that you have. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Very simple verses, very familiar verses, but they're very life-changing verses. If you'll believe them, and apply them, and obey them in your daily life. And so to begin with tonight, I want to consider the great promise at the end of verse 6. And that promise is this: he, the Lord himself, shall direct thy paths. That's a great promise. The Lord shall direct thy paths. By the plural word paths there, I think is referring to all the different areas of our life that make up how we walk through our daily life. And for an example, I walk on the path of being a husband, on the path of being a father, on the path of being a pastor. You've been on the path for a long time now, being a student. And for some of you, that might continue. But you're on these different paths of life, and God said, I'll direct your paths. The word direct means to order, to instruct, to point out a course of proceeding with authority. So what a promise that the Lord himself wants to direct the paths of our life. He's the creator. He's all-knowing. He's all-wise. He loves us so much that he died for us. He loves us more than we love ourselves. We'd be very foolish to direct our own paths when we can have somebody like the Lord doing it for us. He knows what's best, and we can absolutely rely on him to direct us in the right way. You graduates are about to embark on some of the most important paths of your life. What path you'll take for a career. What path you'll take concerning who you're going to marry. What path you'll take concerning the kind of church you should commit to serve the Lord in as believers. Very important paths. And you'd be very wise to get God's direction on those paths. If you fail to do that, I believe one day you will regret it. You really will. Our prayer should be like that of David, who said in Psalm 17:5, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. He said in Psalm 25:4, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. That ought to be our prayer. Do you want to be a good man or a good lady that lives a good life as far as God's concerned, with God's blessing on it? Well, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And how do we know for sure when God's directing our paths? Because he'll always do it in accordance with the Word of God. Psalm 119 says, order my steps in thy word.
It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And when God is directing our paths, they're going to be paths of righteousness, Psalm 23:5. They're going to be paths of mercy and truth, Psalm 25:10. Paths of uprightness, Proverbs 2:13. Paths of peace, Proverbs 3:17. They're going to be the old paths that are tried and proven, wherein we find rest for our souls, Jeremiah 6:16. They're going to be the right paths every time when God's directing our paths. Every believer should desire that God direct their paths. But for most, that's not happening, in all honesty. And what's the reason for that? God wants to do it. He wants to direct your paths. That's his promise. But you got to notice here in these verses that that promise is conditioned on some prerequisites. And if you want God's direction for the paths of your life, there's three things that you better remember from Proverbs 3:5-6. And the first one is, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, it's possible to believe in God with your mind, but not trust him in your heart. The Bible said, "Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble." James 2:19. It's good to have a mental knowledge of God and his truth, but it should not stop with just the mind. It needs to sink down deep into the heart. And by heart, I'm talking about our innermost being, who we really are. We've got to get the Lord and his truth down in our heart, where we're trusting in him and his truth. I know you were taught the truth of the Bible in this school. Even if you were here for a year, you heard truth from God's word in this school. Do you merely have a mental knowledge of that? Or do you really trust what the word of God says? Do you really trust in the Lord with all your heart? What does it mean to trust? And right here in Proverbs 3:5, the contrast helps you understand. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. By way of contrast, I understand then that to trust in the Lord is to lean on him instead of myself. Lean on him. Put your weight down on who he is according to what he has said to you in his word. And you can't trust the Lord without knowing his word, because you only know who God is based on how he's revealed himself in his word. Put your weight down in your heart. Trust in the Lord. Don't just have it up here. It's got to sink down in here if it's really going to make a difference in your life. We must trust in the Lord with all our heart if we're even going to be saved to begin with. God knows your heart. It's possible to know the truth up here, but it's got to sink down in your heart. That happened with me. I knew some things. I heard some things here, but God had to bring me to himself to where I came to the point I knew that I was trusting him in my heart. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. We're only going to look at a few other verses. We'll try to be as brief as possible. Ephesians chapter 1. It's not enough to mentally assent to the fact that Christ is the Savior. If you know that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that doesn't mean you're saved. You've got to trust him in your heart as your Savior. See, the Bible says in Ephesians 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after, and here's how you get saved. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You hear the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. You trust that message, and it says, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You're regenerated by the Spirit. You're indwelt by the Spirit. You're sealed with the Spirit. You're saved. But it's when you trust in your heart after you hear the gospel of your salvation. Now, look at another place, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're not going to look at too many places. I want you to get this. 1 Corinthians 15. What is the gospel of your salvation? First Corinthians 15. Here is the definitive passage in the New Testament to give you the definition of the gospel of the grace of God. The only way you can be saved in this age is by believing this gospel message, not just mentally, but in your heart, trusting. 1 Corinthians 15:1, moreover, Paul writes, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you also have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. It is possible to make a vain profession and just believe something mentally, but not, again, trusting in the heart. And that means some other things according to the context here, 1 Corinthians 15, but time will not permit to dig into that, what he means by that statement. But this is where I want to get to, verse 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Nothing about water baptism, nothing about church membership, nothing about praying a prayer, nothing about anything you are or anything that you've done. It's simply this: Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. That's the gospel. Now watch it. You know that Christ died. And everybody in this room has heard that. And you know, if you're honest, that you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible's very clear, and you know that. You can know that Christ died, and you can know that you have sins, but some people never get that little word in the middle there, F-O-R. He died for our sins. He had no sins. He's the sinless Son of God. He died as a substitute, as a sacrifice, taking our sins, taking your sins, and he paid the price in full. He died for your sins. He was buried for 3 days and nights. He rose in victory the third day. It's a finished work. Don't try to add to it. Don't try to take from it. What you simply need to do is trust that Christ died for you. Trust in your heart. Don't trust in what you've done. Don't trust in who you think you are. Trust solely in Jesus Christ as the Savior. That's the gospel message. Sin had to be paid for. I deserve to die and go to hell for my sins. That's what I deserve. But Jesus, in his love and his mercy and his grace, provided salvation. And as a sacrifice and substitute, he took my sins and paid that price in full. It's a finished work. It's not in this church or any other church. It's not in any experience you had, anything you've done. It's in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not religion. It's a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's got to be real. It's got to be in your heart. You can go through the motions. You can have it in your mind. But if it doesn't sink down in your heart, you'll never change. I've learned that by experience. I'm glad I heard the truth here, but it took some time for God to begin to really get it down deep in my heart. And I say, don't leave here tonight unless you know for sure that it is in your heart. Because if it's not, you're not ready to go out there and face all that you're going to face. The best thing you can do is know for sure you're saved, not just for the graduates, but for everybody here listening that may not be saved. That's the message. Paul said, first of all, that's what I preach. First of all, that's the priority in preaching, is preaching the gospel. You got a lot of people, they don't know what the gospel is. You say, did you get saved? Yeah. Well, tell me about it. Well, I got baptized. No, I didn't ask you about a baptism. They say, well, I got joined the church. Didn't ask you about a church. You say, well, if that's the first thing out of your mouth, that's a problem. It's Jesus and what he did. It's not what we do. Trust. I use this illustration all the time in personal work, and I'm going to use it here. I think it's a simple one, but it helps get the trust point across. A huge crowd was watching the famous tightrope walker Blondin cross Niagara Falls one day in 1860. He crossed numerous times, a 1,000-foot trip, 160 feet above the raging waters, and he asked the crowd if they thought he could take somebody with him on the next trip across. Oh, yeah. Everybody said, we've seen what you can do. We believe you can do that. He said, now, who wants to be the volunteer to get on my back and let me take you across? Nobody. That's the difference between believing something with your mind and trusting. Trusting is putting your full weight down. You get on that guy's back on a tightrope, you're putting your full weight down on him. If he falls, you're done. Put your weight down on Jesus Christ. Rely on him, lean on him, trust in his finished work. Let me show you another verse here real briefly. I may not get to all my message, but I'm going to get this first point in because it's most important. Colossians chapter 2, if you would please. And this will probably be the last one I have you turn to. But look at this verse, if you will, please. You know, trusting in the Lord is how you begin the Christian life. It's how you get saved. It's by grace through faith in the finished work, trusting in what he's done for you. It's a free gift bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. But you know what? That's exactly how you live the Christian life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You can't live the Christian life in your own strength. As a young Christian, I tried so hard, I thought I had to impress the Lord and prove to the Lord that I loved him. And it seemed the harder I tried to live for him, the more I fell, messed up. And the Lord used this verse, and I'm not perfect now by any means, but this is one of the verses the Lord used in my heart to really begin to really change me, practically speaking, in my daily life. This is Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How'd you receive him? Trust in him. Put your weight down on him. Rely on him for salvation. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. He lives in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Walk in his strength each and every day by faith, yielding to the Spirit of God. Your confidence has got to be in Christ Jesus, not in yourself. Your flesh can't be like Jesus. The flesh is corruptible and nothing but corruptible. You get a new nature in salvation, and you got to learn to trust in the Lord in your daily walk and do it in his strength. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It's got to be real to you. He's got to be in your heart. Salvation's a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an issue of humility to trust the Lord. One of the reasons why so many won't is because they're proud and they want to lean on themselves. But you got to humble yourself and trust in the Lord. I'm going to fly through these next points here. Number two, lean not unto thine own understanding. And that goes right along. If you're trusting the Lord with all your heart, then you're going to lean not on thine own understanding. It's pride that causes us to lean on our own understanding instead of trusting the Lord. Let me just make this real clear. If we think we have understanding on an issue, but it contradicts what the Word of God says, we must side with God against ourselves every time and not lean on our own understanding. Lean on him and what he has said in his word. The Bible says in Proverbs 21 and verse number, verse number 30. I'll just quote it to you here. Proverbs 21, 30. It says, there is no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord. Oh, there's some wisdom out there and some understanding out there and some counsel out there that's contrary to God's wisdom and God's understanding and God's counsel, but it's all wrong. God is right. He's right every time. He's never wrong. He is the truth. And you've got, no matter what this crazy, messed up culture says about any issue in life, you've got to lean not on thine own understanding and rely on what the Word of God says, because he's right. And right never changes. Truth is truth. You better be anchored down in that, because our country is losing its mind. And if you don't get anchored down that you really believe this book, you're going to go right along with it in insanity. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on thine own understanding. Seek spiritual understanding from the Scripture on every issue. Every issue. The Bible's not everything God knows, but it's everything he wants us to know, and it's sufficient for everything we deal with. And the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. And you got to have that mentality. Just because something seems right doesn't mean it is. Twice in Proverbs it says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You need God's wisdom. You need God's guidance. You need to trust in what God says. Many people will foolishly make decisions based on what they feel in their own heart. And that's the big advice. Well, just follow your heart. Well, you're pretty much going to go the wrong direction. Because the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, the Scripture says. Proverbs 28 says, he that trusteth in his own heart's a fool. You better learn that truth like Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. If God's used me to any extent, it's because I'm fully aware of that truth. And I know better than to rely on myself if I'm going to try to do anything for the Lord. You've got to rely on Him and not just follow your heart. Follow the Word of God and get your heart in line with that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible's very clear on that. If we are wise in our own eyes, you know what that proves? It proves we don't fear the Lord. Proverbs 3 verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil. Last point, all right? In all thy ways acknowledge Him. There's not a Christian here that doesn't acknowledge God to some extent. But that's not what the verse said. It didn't say acknowledge Him to an extent. It said in all thy ways acknowledge Him. That's the question. Are we going to acknowledge Him in all our ways? See, there's a big difference between just seeing Christ as a part of our life. Jesus, come into my life, be my buddy, and just help me when I need you. All that silly stuff. It's not in the Bible. There's a big difference between that and understanding He is our life. That's what the Scripture says, Christ who is our life. See, I might be a little extreme, but I just believe what the Bible says. And the Lord bought me with a price. And I belong to Him. And if you're saved, you belong to Him. And you ought to serve Him from your heart and acknowledge Him in all your ways. He is the Lord. But do you acknowledge Him as such in every area of your life? Do you acknowledge Him at home? Do you acknowledge Him at school? Do you acknowledge Him at play? Do you acknowledge Him in your finances and your schedule and all your relationships and on and on? So many compartmentalize their life and they say, I'll acknowledge Him when I go to church. And some can't even do that much. I don't even know why they come. If you're not going to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, this isn't just some kind of religious fiasco. It ought to be real from your heart. Acknowledge the Lord, but not just when you come to this building. You ought to acknowledge Him when you leave here tonight. You acknowledge Him in everything, in all your ways, if He's your Lord. Acknowledge Him in everything. And if you didn't get anything else, please just get these last three verses. I won't even tell you to turn to them for sake of time, but if you can, you may not have something to write with, but you probably already have them memorized. But how do you do it? And I'm finished with this. How do you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways? Well, let me just give you three major spiritual principles that will, if you will follow, you will acknowledge Him in all your ways. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, that'd be everything. Do all to the glory of God. That's the goal. That's why we're here. I know a lot of people, they're into vainglory. What's that? People who glorify themselves and think it's about them. That's about as empty and as worthless. Glory in the Lord. That's why we're here. That's why He made us, to know Him and walk with Him and glorify Him. You're nothing without the Lord. You'd die and spend eternity in hell without Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's about Him. I could care less what the worldly philosophy is that would contradict what I just said. They're wrong, and the Bible is right. And the Bible's right about everything it says. Glorify God in everything. And then in Colossians 3, it says in verse 17, do all in the name of the Lord. Whatsoever you do, do all in the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ. That means you're doing it in His authority. When you need to decide to do something, can you say, I'm going to do this for the glory of God, and I do it in Jesus' name? When you listen to that sorry, filthy music, can you say, I do it to the glory of God and in Jesus' name? You got some plans later on that maybe not exactly right. You're going to say, well, I do it to the glory of God and Jesus' name. See, if you get it in your heart, you really want to glorify God and you want to do it in Jesus' name, that'd save you from a whole lot of problems. And then it said in verse 23 of Colossians 3, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. That's where it's got to get, where it's not, you're not trying to just do what's right because you know so-and-so expects you to. You do it from the heart, as unto the Lord. Do it heartily with all your heart. Can you do it to the glory of God? Can you do it in Jesus' name? Can you do it from your heart as unto the Lord? If you got the Spirit of God in you and you honestly govern your life by those three principles, it'll lead you in the right direction every time. Every time. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. I can personally testify that if you follow Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you'll not regret it. At this point in my life, I've tried to follow this for the past, whatever, been married now 12 years. That doesn't sound like a long time to some of you, but that's moving on. I'm getting older. But since I've been serious about serving the Lord and married and in the ministry and all this, listen to me. It's a wonderful thing not to have to think, did I marry the right one? I've never doubted that for a second. You see what I'm saying? I know I'm on God's path that He directed for me when it comes to my marriage. I don't have to wake up tomorrow and say, am I supposed to be in this church, pastor in this church? I don't have to do that every day because God directed me there. And I'm nothing. It's just by the grace of God. I'm not trying to set myself up. I'm just saying from my own experience, I'm telling you, you won't regret it if you let the Lord. If I would have directed my own paths, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. Ain't no telling where I'd be. But it's God's grace and God's mercy. Let Him. It's very fulfilling to be at the center of God's will. You don't want to be anywhere else. If you are, it's a waste of your time. It's a waste of life. And you will know that one day if you don't recognize it now. You will stand before the Lord. Only one life, it'll soon be passed. And really only what's done for Christ will last, the old saying goes. The main thing is you know the Lord and you serve Him. Everything else is nothing. We talked about all these paths, but in the Bible there's also a real general thing about two paths. Just two ways. Jesus said there's a broad way and many go in thereat to destruction. He said there's a narrow way and few there be on that narrow way that leads to life. Jesus said, I am the way. Amen. Not just one of the ways, the way. If you don't know Him, you're lost. If you don't know Him, you're nothing. You've got to know Jesus and get on that way and that path and then let Him direct your path in your daily life. Our Father, I do pray that You'd please use this message to speak to the hearts of our graduates and everybody else that's here tonight. Thank You for the Word of God and the truth of it. And thank You, dear God, for Your mercy and grace and love to me. And what a privilege, Lord, to stand here tonight and preach Your holy Word. I pray You'd use it now. Please save the lost and strengthen the saved. And I do again pray for these graduates as they embark on these paths of life that they will let You direct their paths. And we pray.